Hello.
You can say that.
Sorry, I just took a mouthful of peanut butter, so hold on 1 second, you guys. Laurent is feeding me while I'm waiting. Okay, it was good peanut butter, though. All right. Hi, everyone. Yeah, sticky situation. I see Dortha has asked, is Laurent teaching tonight? Teaching. I like that southern accent in there. You're in Topeka, though, right, Dortha? Is Laurent teaching tonight? I don't know. He's right here, so we'll see. If he feels like, you know, taking over, I'll let him take over. I'm totally okay with that. So we'll see what happens. Or, you know, just joining in. Whatever he wants is fine with me. So, yeah, welcome everyone to Holy Spirit Guides, which means that what we are doing is looking at ReginaDawnAkers.com. What we've been doing for a few months now is we began at the beginning, and we're going through all of the messages that Holy Spirit gave me in chronological order. And today we are at Monday, May 23rd, 2005. Let me give you a link to ReginaDawnAkers.com. There you are. So you can go there. While you're going there, I'm going to echo a couple of commercials that Dove just gave us and add one more. First of all, Dove talked about the Be the Love conference, which, as he mentioned, is 8-8-08, and it's a 3-day conference, so it goes until 8-10-08, and it will be held in New Windsor, Maryland, which is about an hour outside of Baltimore. And we do have several wonderful facilitators. We're calling them facilitators instead of speakers. Facilitators coming, including John Mundy, Scott Kalickstein, John Mulrooney. Pamela, you can help me if I leave anybody out. We have someone you probably do not yet know, Victoria Eisner, who actually specializes in dance, spiritual experiences through dance. Who am I leaving out here? We have Cheryl Valentine, of course, Pamela Silberman, Richard Dignan, me, yes, Mary Beth Scalisi. It's really going to be a lot of fun. The facility is very, very nice. And, yeah, John Mundy, I think I mentioned him. She's typing out all the names. And based on the accommodations that you choose, we have several different accommodations options. Based on the accommodations that you choose, the price begins as low as $275, but there are different options, so the price can get a little higher depending on what you want, but it never gets, I don't think, too high. Our goal has been to keep the price low as we can, so that people can come. This really isn't, our goal is not to make money. Our goal is to have a wonderful experience with you. So we have kept the price as low as we can keep the price. So hopefully you'll look at the price and think it's a very good price. And Pamela, since you're... Oh, Resta Burnham. I did forget Resta. How could I forget her? Resta Burnham is a wonderful facilitator, singer that will be there, singer-songwriter. Pamela, since you got your fingers on the keyboard, why don't you give everybody the website where they can go and find out more information and register. And I'll say the website out loud for the recording. It's www.bethelove.us, which, of course, is us. Us. And then the second commercial that I want to echo while you're going to ReginaDawnAkers.com is for the conference in March, which is going to be in New Hampshire. And I suppose a good way, there isn't a website for that one, so if you want a registration form for that, you could either contact David Fishman, because he's going to be a speaker there, or you could contact me, and I can send it to you, and I will type in my email address, although it's very, very easy. It's ReginaDawnAkers@yahoo.com. And there's going to be a lot of great facilitators there or speakers there. I don't remember all of their names off the top of my head, but Doran Dibble is one. John Mundy will be there. John Nagy will be there. Peter Piffin will be there. Maybe if Dove is available, I don't know, he could be busy, but if he's available, maybe he'll type in some more names while I'm speaking. But I went to, this is called Camp for Miracles. Camp for Miracles is the conference I went to in June. Which is the one where I had the really magnificent experiences. When I left the conference, I went through 3 weeks of very high mystical experiences, you know, like things like I was an apple. I experienced, you know, lots of love, even including love coming from a towel rack, from the floor. This whole experience started at the Camp for Miracles. So that is the conference that is being repeated in March, at the end of March, March 28th. Love to see you all there as well. Also, March 28th happens to be the day that NTI is actually going to be released. But right now, as you probably know, NTI can be pre-ordered. And in fact, today, David Baranowski emailed me and let me know that it's on sale. So if you want to go and pre-order it now, it's good. If you happen to have pre-ordered it at $36 last week, don't worry. Yahoo has a pre-order guarantee. You always get the lowest price, so you will not be charged the $36. You'll be charged the sale price, so it doesn't really matter. All right, by now you should be at reginadonacres.com. So what you want to do on the right-hand menu, if you haven't done that yet, is you want to go to... Notice I'm telling them what they want to do.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, I'm always telling Laurent what he wants to do, too. You want to do that?
Okay. And he loves it when you say that.
what you want to do is go to the right-hand menu, and you want to look for May 2005. Make sure you get 2005, because there are a few Mays there. When you get to May 2005, you're looking for the writing that is done on Monday, May 23rd. So you'll have to scroll down to find that. The name of it is You Must Be One with God. What I would like to do is give this entire reading to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to please guide us in anything that we need to see, to help us to see that, and in anything that it would be helpful for us to realize, to help us realize that. Anything at all that's helpful for us today, anything at all. I place no limits on what we may realize through this next 50 minutes, 53 minutes. I want to remind all of you that you are a part of the flow. So if you are feeling any guidance to say anything or any guidance to ask anything, please raise your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. And I notice a seer. I don't know if that's how you say it, but I like that. A seer, 4004. You say it's your first time in the room. I invite you to hang out and see if you enjoy being with us. What I'm going to do is be reading some things that I heard within my own mind from the higher self, which I call the Holy Spirit. These are messages that were given to me early on the spiritual path in order to teach me. So that's where we're at. So I'm going to begin reading now. You must be one with God. And this is what the Holy Spirit said. I am you. You hear me rising in your mind, and so I must be you. And you recognize me as one with God, so you must be one with God too. My voice is going. Hold on. Let's try this again. Maybe Laurent will be teaching pretty quickly if my voice quits.
That's the peanut butter trick.
And you recognize me as one with God, so you must be one with God too. You ask me how you can accept... my voice is not working.
Really?
Yeah, really. We'll try it again. You ask me how you can accept me as you, and yet you already know this is true, so just accept it. The only reason you continue to deny... Wow. I don't know what's going on with my voice. It's like it's resisting right now, so I'm just going to be patient with it. You guys may have to be patient with me, but what's happening as I am reading, although I wasn't having a problem when I was just talking to you a moment ago, what's happened as I'm reading is I'm feeling my voice... It feels like it literally just wants to quit. So, take another drink of water and try it again. Let's see what's going on here. Let's try this again. You ask me how you can accept me as you, and yet you already know this is true. So just accept it. The only reason you continue to deny that we are one, when it is obvious that we are, is that you have thoughts in your mind telling you that you are unworthy of being me. How can you be unworthy of being yourself? How can you be unworthy of being what you are? Ask yourself this today, and let you love yourself that you may recognize the ridiculousness of denying what is true. So, as I mentioned to you all, when I first started writing with Holy Spirit, it felt like what I would call channeling. I no longer use that word, but at that time it felt like channeling. And the reason I called it channeling is because it felt like someone else, and by that I mean someone separate from me, was talking to me. And that's exactly what Holy Spirit is addressing in this message, is that in my mind, I am still separate from Holy Spirit, and I am definitely separate from God. I'm seeing myself as completely separate. And Holy Spirit is really talking to me about that and saying, of course, you know this isn't true. And you know, whenever Holy Spirit tells me, you'll see it in NTI several times, he'll say, you know, and then he'll go on to say something that I know. Whenever Holy Spirit says to me, you know, and then says something, I always feel within my heart a complete confirmation that I do know that. I can never, ever argue with the Holy Spirit when he says, you know. He only says that when he's really hitting on something that I do know. So he tells me in this particular writing that I know that we are one. That's what he's saying. You know this. But then he goes on to point out why I seem not to know it, and that is because I am consciously denying it, or even unconsciously denying it, because of that belief in my unworthiness. It's that unworthiness that keeps me from accepting what I know. It's that belief in my unworthiness that keeps me from accepting what I know, which is why he's calling it ridiculous. You know, it's ridiculous to not accept what you know to be true. But it's that belief in the unworthiness that does that. And then you can see that Dortha has written the sentences that he's really asking these questions to guide me to let go of this ridiculous thought that we are somehow separate. He says, how can you be unworthy of being yourself? And that's a very good question. That's a very good question because you can see the impossibility in it. It would be completely impossible to be unworthy of being what you are, of being yourself. I mean, you know, you are what you are. Worthiness has nothing to do with it. It just is what it is. How can you be unworthy of being yourself? How can you be unworthy of being what you are? He's just asking these questions, which are very good questions. They point out the ridiculousness of the thought process that keeps us believing we're separate from God. And he wants me to see how ridiculous it is so that I will let go of that thought that this voice I am hearing is somehow separate from me. And I did eventually let go of that thought. To be honest, it was still several months after this point, though. So this is really a seed planting. This message is a seed planting. I was well into NTI before I finally accepted that. And I laugh at it now because it was ridiculous. But I was well into NTI before I finally accepted that the voice I was hearing in my own mind was me. I was well into NTI before I finally accepted that the voice I was hearing in my own mind was me. My higher self, but me. Steve, please take the mic.
I raised my hand and I thought, oh, she's going to answer my question before I ask it again. I thought, oh, that's going to be it. Because I guess I was just going to share that that for me it's helpful when you do, like, you know, say when you first heard it like this and then it, go through the process of how long it took before you actually accepted it or could experience it or something like that, you know. So that's what I was going to ask, is like, how long did it take? Because I think that's helpful for me because, you know, you read the course and it seems like it's going to happen instantaneously, and then if it doesn't happen instantaneously, then it's like, uh-oh, I must have done something wrong, and that voice of judgment is always there. So I guess I was just going to ask that because I really enjoy the process that you share about, you know, how long it took and, you know, what thoughts you had to change and stuff like that when you go through the actual acceptance of it and stuff like that. Because I do remember you saying, like, when you first had something posted and somebody posted it as coming from you, you were very hesitant to accept any of the accolades or anything, because, you know, said, no, no, Holy Spirit did this. It's something separate from me did that. So I was just going to, I always seem to enjoy that part when you actually share about, you know, how long it took and what thoughts might have been helpful to get you to reach that conclusion actually and stuff like that. So I don't know if that was a question or a comment. I'll let you decide. Here you go. Thank you.
Well, before I turn the mic over to Bill, I am going to, you know, comment on your comment. I don't know if you guys heard me, but I kind of laughed when I read the word ridiculousness in this particular writing, and that's because Laurent and I were talking about that exact word today, ridiculous, because it seems like whenever I'm under what I call ego attack, which really means I'm listening to the ego a lot in my mind, whenever I seem to be listening to the ego a lot in my mind, I know when I'm about to leave that space and go back to my right mind, because something completely ridiculous will happen. You know, like I had an ego attack a few weeks ago, and just before it ended, I walked right into this huge spider web. I had an ego attack a couple days ago, and right before it ended, my chair broke. Today, my dog attacked me with love, but she, you know, she really attacked me pretty well. So something ridiculous always happens, and somehow, when I see the ridiculousness of what's going on in my mind, that's what these events do. They point out the ridiculousness of what's going on in my mind. And when I see the ridiculousness of what I'm listening to, that's when I really start choosing again, when I just see it's utterly ridiculous. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in this particular message. The Holy Spirit is pointing out that my thought process that is keeping me thinking I'm separate from Him is utter ridiculousness, completely ridiculous. And somehow seeing that always works for me. Bill, please take the mic.
Thank you, Regina. And also, Steve, I just want to mention that something that I have noticed, I want to chime in agreement with Steve, because one of the things that I have watched in me as I progress seems quickly to me in this path, it's that not only am I seeing and understanding the, you know, the terms that that Dove has used and many others use, if when you spot it you got it, and that whole understanding of perception, projection makes perception, but also on the description that Steve just made, or the characterization that Steve just made of your describing where you were in your path, you know, the sort of like sequence and where you were and how helpful that is or is for him, it also is for me, because I have noticed for me that when I hear a brother say something that connects, that just sort of I agree with, I also own it at the same time, and I find myself able to get there with them just by the fact that they said it and the Holy Spirit connected the dots and said, you can do this too, bam, right now, and all of a sudden I can. And so I just wanted to agree with Steve in that description, and thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, Bill. And don't forget to put your hand down so I know when you raise it again. And I just want to comment on something that Pamela has posted. I have not read the Harry Potter books, but her comment is very much in line with what works for me. She's saying ridiculous is the magic word used by wizards in Harry Potter stories to get rid of bogarts that represent fear. And that's exactly, as I mentioned, that seems to happen to me. When I see the ridiculousness of what is going on in my mind, that seems to help me then to let go of it. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read this short little message one more time, and then we will move on to the next message. So the Holy Spirit said, I am you. You hear me rising in your mind, and so I must be you. And you recognize me as one with God, so you must be one with God too. You ask me how you can accept me as you, and yet you already know this is true. So just accept it. The only reason you continue to deny that we are one, when it is obvious that we are, is that you have thoughts in your mind telling you that you are unworthy of being me. How can you be unworthy of being yourself? How can you be unworthy of being what you are? Ask yourself this today, and let you love yourself, that you may recognize the ridiculousness of denying what is true. So that was the message. Again, another seed that Holy Spirit planted to help me accept that the voice in my mind was coming from me. So scroll up to Thursday, May 26th. And it looks like this was a question that I asked the Holy Spirit, and I got an answer. The title I've given it is, How Do We Accept Our Brothers as Ourself? And here's the question. What will you give us today that will help us? I have no idea who us was. That's very interesting, because I very much back then, somebody else may have prompted me to ask this question, because usually when I ask the Holy Spirit a question, I say me. When I tend to say us, it's because somebody else actually asked me to ask the question, but then I also saw it as my question. So this may have come from someone else originally. What will you give us today that will help us to accept our brothers as ourselves? Help us to see our glory and our innocence, and to accept nothing false as true. That's a pretty big question with a little bitty answer. How do we accept our brothers as ourself? How do we see our glory and our innocence? And how do we accept nothing false as true? Here's the answer. You will see your brother as yourself when you are willing to accept only your love as true. And love here is capitalized. Sometimes you'll notice that when I write love, it has a capital L. And sometimes when I write love, it has a lowercase l. Whenever I write love with a capital L, it is because I also understood the word to be synonymous with oneness, to be synonymous with our truth. So we aren't talking about the feeling of love. We're talking about the reality of love. You will see your brother as yourself when you are willing to accept only your love as true. For what you accept, you reflect. While you accept other thoughts as true of you, as truly yours, you see those thoughts reflected as your brother. Yet, you accept those thoughts and reject them simultaneously. And so you reject the reflection that is your brother. So what the Holy Spirit is talking about is, again, if we're not accepting our love, which is synonymous with our oneness, then what we are accepting is ideas of separation. Ideas of separation are ideas you're very familiar with. Ideas of attack, ideas of defense, ideas of hatred, ideas of inequality. You know, he's greater than me, or he is less than me. Ideas of unworthiness. It could be, you know, my unworthiness or his unworthiness. Ideas of guilt. It could be my guilt, or it could be his guilt. But you know all these separation ideas that are in the mind. So what Holy Spirit is saying is, if I'm not accepting my love is true, or I'm not accepting our oneness is true, then what I'm doing is I'm accepting something else as true. Right? I'm either accepting our oneness as true, or I'm accepting something else as true. And that something else that I'm accepting are the thoughts of separation. I'm believing they're true, and I'm believing they're my true thoughts. And if I'm accepting those thoughts, then I'm going to see them reflected in my brother. So he's really talking about projection here. So if I am accepting the thoughts of separation, then when I look at my brothers, I'm going to experience them as separate than me. I may experience them as better than me. I may experience them as worse than me. I may experience them as guiltier than me, more innocent than me, more unworthy than me, worthier than me. And, you know, it doesn't really matter. I'm definitely going to experience them as separate from me. But what he is saying is that I'm accepting these thoughts into my mind, which means I'm believing these thoughts and accepting these thoughts into my mind. But because they don't feel right, I also reject them. So, for example, I'm going to pick on Mary Ellen just because my eyes landed on her. So, Mary Ellen, get ready. I'm going to pick on you. Of course, everything I'm saying I'm making up, so it doesn't really matter. But if I have Mary Ellen on some kind of a pedestal, I think Mary Ellen is this incredible teacher that is much, much better than me. I can't put Mary Ellen on some kind of a pedestal and truly love Mary Ellen too, because what I have done is I have separated her from me. So what's going to happen when I put Mary Ellen up on this pedestal is that my mind is also going to simultaneously reject this thought it has accepted. So I'm going to be accepting a false idea. I'm then going to reject this idea simultaneously, which means at some point I'm going to reject Mary Ellen. What seems to be my admiration for her as a great teacher, what seems to be my love for her, what seems to have me, you know, telling everybody how wonderful Mary Ellen is, at some point is going to turn to disappointment and hatred. And we all know this. We all know that whoever we put on a pedestal at some point has to fall. And the reason for that is because we accept false thoughts and we reject the false thoughts. So we can never experience ourselves as one with our brother. We can never experience our brothers as ourself if we are accepting false thoughts into the mind, because we accept the false thoughts and we reject them, which means we will also at some point reject our brothers. And we may reject them off and on, like when you're married. Everybody knows what being married is like. One day you're madly in love, the next day you're not. The rejection shows up. The next day you're madly in love, the next day you're not. Whenever we see someone is separate from us, the rejection has to occur. So let me read that paragraph again. You will see your brother as yourself when you are willing to accept only your love as true. For what you accept, you reflect. While you accept other thoughts as true of you, as truly yours, you see those thoughts reflected as your brother. Yet you accept those thoughts and reject them simultaneously. And so you reject the reflection that is your brother. I cannot see you as one with me because I'm accepting the thoughts of separation and rejecting those thoughts at the same time, which means I must also reject you. Forgive the thoughts you do not want. The thoughts that are not love. And again, love is synonymous with oneness. Forgive the thoughts you do not want, the thoughts that are not love, which is your true will. When there is nothing in your mind except that which is truly yours, there will be nothing in your mind you are tempted to reject. So you will not reject the reflection that is your brother. You will accept him as yours, your one true self, and you will love and be grateful for the self that is you. So again, what Holy Spirit is saying is when I fully accept our oneness as our only truth, and I no longer accept the false thoughts of separation into my mind as true, then I will no longer reject the reflection that is you. I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to share.
I think I do.
Okay.
What do you think of, I want to go back to, you reflected as your brother. That's the only thoughts in my mind.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to turn the mic over to Laurent. He has something to share.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody?
I think good.
Okay, hi. I just want to go back to the first paragraph of that message, because something just struck me, and since it's working for me lately, I want to share it with you. And it has very much to do with a teaching that I heard Ken Wapnick give us about abstraction and the world, about the mind and then the world. Holy Spirit in this message says, while you accept other thoughts as true of you, as truly yours, you see those thoughts reflected as your brother. Okay. This is when I felt that I needed to to jump in, because lately, what's been working very well for me is to realize that my brothers are thoughts. Everything that I see is a thought, an idea, because I would not be able to see it, hear it, feel it if it was not a thought already in my mind. And as we know, before being in the world, we were in heaven, and then we were, this is all in the mind, of course, we were in the mind, and then the ego kind of tricked us to cut ourselves from our mind, from the knowledge that we are a mind and not a body, in putting up the world and being able to, as the Course says, project our unconscious guilt and all the rest on the world. But what I'm saying here is that my brother is a thought in my mind, meaning he's not a body and he's a thought. It reminds me of the other day on the on Pal Talk. There was this this big thing. Maybe you saw it. There was like a little attacks and defense and all this kind of stuff. And we watched that with Regina. And at some point, I began to laugh. I began to laugh because I saw the ridiculousness of the whole thing, but I took responsibility for it. It's a little overwhelming, but I took responsibility knowing that all those voices with names are thoughts in my mind. So then I had the thought I don't know what it was, of victimizer. I had the thought of being a victim. I had the thought of attacking. I had the thought of the killer. All of these are in my mind, and I recognize this, and I saw that as a movie, as a film, of just my thoughts. So I guess I just wanted to share that, the fact that it really helped me lately to forget about the world, forget about what I see, and see that I am responsible for the whole thing. I was talking about being a little overwhelmed by this, but once again, it's to sit in the chair of the creator of the universe, which I am, which you are, of course. And everything you see is a thought. So a brother is a thought. He's not a brother. I mean, he's not a body. He's a thought in my mind. You know, it sounds very, how do you say, it sounds very overwhelming once again, because it's all abstract, and it puts me in charge of everything that I see. But once again, it's been easier for me to deal with a problem with a brother. Let's say I had a problem yesterday with some girl. I remember that there is no world, that this girl is a thought in my mind. So, of course, if I'm rejecting that girl, I'm rejecting a thought in my mind. And rejecting a thought in my mind is cutting me from my mind, is separating my own mind, is separating heaven. My mind is really heaven. So I remember a teaching from Regina, from Holy Spirit through Regina, that says that judgment is a knife that cuts the Son of God in pieces. If I reject a brother, and now I went back to the abstract, to the thoughts, I reject a thought of mine. And it's ridiculous because I see myself with many thoughts. Now, once again, I forgot about the world, but I see myself in my mind with many thoughts, and the thoughts are alive. They're like they're talking because I gave them a lot of power. So the thoughts are talking. And I prefer one thought than another. Here we go. I start judging little me versus little me, etc., etc. So I just wanted to share that with you because, as he says later in the message, yet you accept those thoughts and reject them simultaneously, and so you reject the reflection that is your brother. He doesn't say that my brother has any reality right here. He says, the thoughts reflected as your brother, reflection that is your brother. My brother is not a reflection. It means that my brother does not exist. All I see is my thoughts. And since there's no world, and I'm some kind of invisible, because the mind has no form as well, my brother is the same, and my brother and me is one. So all I see is my thoughts. Everything is in my mind or in my head. Everything here happens in my mind. So it's like a theater that is happening in my mind with the tremendous power that God gave me. From this thought somewhere, I'm creating a scenery. I'm creating like a film. I'm creating the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, the holy. I'm creating the whole thing, and I prefer one to the other. But they're not my brothers. They're my thoughts. That's what I wanted to share with you. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Regina.
You're welcome, Laurent. And yeah, you know, I think what happened, what was that? I guess that was Monday night in Pal Talk. So it was two nights ago. Today's Wednesday. What happened Monday night in Pal Talk, I know to a lot of people did not look good. I think that, you know, a lot of people probably were saying, you know, what the heck is happening here? You know, what's gone wrong? But what Laurent and I are definitely seeing is that the entire thing was perfect, because the entire thing is helping us to look at our mind and to look at everything that happened as ideas in our mind, and to recognize the ideas in our mind that we want to forgive. And in fact, some of you may know that the very next day when I was on the treadmill, Holy Spirit gave me an exercise. You know, what Laurent is talking about is very true, but as he mentioned, it is also very abstract. And for a lot of us, the abstract is difficult to get a hold of. I'm one of those people. So what Holy Spirit did was give me an exercise to help me with this abstract. And the exercise that he gave me was to write down all of the characters that I saw in the room on Monday night, and then to write down just what my perception was of them. And I talked about this to you. You know, what did I perceive when I saw Joe Wolf, you know, writing comments on the board? Or what did I perceive from Mary Ellen? Or what did I perceive when I heard Dove talking? Or when I saw Pamela's comments? Or, you know, those are the people that are in the room now. But as you know, there were many others. What did I perceive? And then he told me to take responsibility for my perception. And this allowed me in a non-abstract way to get to seeing the ideas in my mind and to realize that they were ideas in my mind. And then I was able to make the connection and really see the reality of the fact that this is my idea. This is my thought. For example, one thing I mentioned on the recording was Peter. I saw Peter as wanting very much to believe that he was innocent, but not quite believing it. That is my perception. Mary Ellen may have had a completely different perception of Peter, and she may even say, how did you get that perception? Well, that is the idea in my mind. And so by seeing that idea in my mind, I'm then noticing I'm going to use the word truth, but it's a little truth, a truth about what is going on in my mind, that I still do not believe I'm innocent, but I want very much to. And I was able to do that with each of the characters. I was able to go look at each of the characters, look at how I perceive them, bring that back to my mind, see that was an idea in my mind, and then see the reality of the fact that it was an idea in my mind, and to see many, many false thoughts in my mind that I need to see. And many of those things, just seeing them, did not make it disappear right then, but it allowed me to know what I need to work on with Holy Spirit. It allowed me to see where I'm still believing things that aren't true. So for me, Monday night was an incredible blessing, because I learned a lot about my own mind through Monday night. And each one of us who were there can use Monday night for that if we choose to. But it's a decision that we have to make. We have to choose to use Monday night for that. If we don't choose to use Monday night for that, well then, you know, that's not how it will be used. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, it's perfect.
I want to add that it's Monday night, but it's not only Monday night, it's just every day. Every day is really a picture of what's happening in my mind. So, of course, it's a little abstract to just think about thought and forget the bodies, forget that there's no world. But at the end of the day, if you study the course, you know that there's no world. So what I see Monday night on the screen is just like some of my thoughts fighting against my other thoughts. And I can see now how ridiculous this is. But I've created that. This is like something that I'm like that Holy Spirit's been working with me lately. These last three nights, especially since I shared with you what I shared on Saturday, I've been drilling this thing down in me, like this thing that everything is just happening in my mind, in my head. In my head, there's got all these people talking, whatever, all these things happening, but it's all happening in my head. So. Yeah, of course, I'll get back to you on where it goes, but it's really cool.
So now that we've discussed the message, let me just read the message one more time. So the question was, what will you give us today that will help us to accept our brothers as ourselves, help us to see our glory and our innocence, and to accept nothing false as true? And the Holy Spirit answered, you will see your brother as yourself when you are willing to accept only your love as true. For what you accept, you reflect. while you accept other thoughts as true of you, as truly yours, you see those thoughts reflected as your brother. Yet you accept those thoughts and reject them simultaneously, which means we both accept the thought as true, but then we reject the thought because we don't want to acknowledge that we accepted it as true, that this is a decision we made. So it's an acceptance and a denial that's happening very, very quickly in the mind. You accept those thoughts and reject them simultaneously. And so you reject the reflection that is your brother. Forgive the thoughts you do not want, the thoughts that are not love, which is your true will. When there is nothing in your mind except that which is truly yours, there will be nothing in your mind you are tempted to reject. So you will not reject the reflection that is your brother. You will accept him as yours, your one true self, and you will love and be grateful for the self that is you. That's it. That's the message. So it's a nice message. And we're going to scroll on up now to Thursday, May 26th, another very short message. Yeah, the title of this message is Rejoice, You Are Not Special. So the Holy Spirit says, Rejoice, you are not special. You are one with heaven and one with yourself. You are one with your brothers and one with your peace. You are one with love and one with me. You are not special. You are as you are. Rejoice. The conflict of specialness is not real. It is a dream of pain from which you can awaken when the desire for specialness is gone. Relinquish the dream and accept the truth of you as you are. Rejoice. And what's really wonderful about this message is because, you know, again, you know, most of us, if not all of us, really enjoy being special until we learn that specialness causes our pain. Then we start letting go of that. But, you know, when we're really listening to the ego, we really enjoy being special. We want very much to be special. We want recognition in the world. We want to be, you know, great at sports, or we want to be, you know, popular in high school, or we want to be, you know, very successful in our job, or we want to be a great artist, or whatever it is. We want very, very much to be special. It's a natural ego desire. And so Holy Spirit is taking a really positive way of trying to turn that around. Look at how many times he says rejoice in this message. Rejoice, you are not special. You are as you are. Rejoice. Relinquish the dream and accept the truth of you as you are. Rejoice. He's trying to just take that rejoicing that we're doing and completely turn it around. Instead of rejoicing at the idea that we are special, he's asking us to rejoice at the idea that we are not, because that is rejoicing at our truth. That is rejoicing at our oneness. And one thing that's really important to understand about this message, again, is that the idea of our specialness is what causes our pain. Because whenever we believe that we're special, unless, of course, we're accepting that everyone is special, because that is also true. When we accept the specialness of the Son of God, well, in that way, the specialness is true. But if we're accepting into our mind that I am special as a teacher, I am very special as a teacher of God. And, you know, so-and-so over there is not as special as me. That special, of course, is separation. And every thought of separation is a two-sided coin. So if I think that I'm really special on one day, if I think that I'm really great on one day, then what's going to happen on another day is that something is going to come up to make me feel the opposite of that, to make me feel very unworthy as a teacher of God. So really, specialness creates suffering. And the Holy Spirit knows this. And so we want to rejoice in letting go of the idea of specialness, because when we let go of the idea of separation, which is what specialness is, and we accept the oneness, or we accept what Holy Spirit has been talking about lately with me. We accept the flow. We just accept everything exactly as it is. We accept the equality, the sameness, the oneness of all of our brothers. Then that idea of separation is reduced, and finally that idea of separation is gone, and we no longer have to experience the flip side of the specialness coin, which is the suffering of unworthiness. So again, Holy Spirit says, rejoice, you are not special. Because Holy Spirit knows that in accepting this idea, you are literally letting go of suffering. In accepting this idea, you are choosing happiness. Steve, please take the mic.
Yeah, I really like what you said there, because I heard somebody, I don't know if they were teaching or sharing a story on Peloton one time, and he said how revolted and how sick it made him when somebody used the word specialness. But if you would listen to the context of what the guy said, he said everybody at that Course in Miracles meeting was special, so it was perfect for what you were saying there. But when you treat everyone as equally special, you kind of take all the value away from specialness. You know, if you see everybody as equally special, it makes it, you know, doesn't really have a purpose to say the word special if everybody's the same. So it takes all the value and all the negative connotations away from that word. So it was really nice to hear you say it that way, because that's what it really means, is when everybody's equally special, then you can all be special. And, you know, they even use the word special as like having special talents in a dream that you can give to Holy Spirit and stuff like that. So special isn't really a bad word. It's just a matter of how you're using it, I think, you know. So it was good to hear you say that if we treat everybody as especially special, then it kind of loses its value, or it doesn't really mean anything. At least that's what I'm kind of getting from it. So thanks. Here's the mic back. Appreciate it. Time to share.
Yeah, and I like that, Steve. I like everybody is especially special. To me, that really captures the truth of what we are. That captures our holiness. That captures our grandeur. Not only are we all special, but we are all especially special. So thank you very much for saying that. That was absolutely perfect. So let me read this message one more time, and then we'll move up. Rejoice. You are not special. You are one with heaven and one with yourself. You are one with your brothers and one with your peace. You are one with love and one with me. You are not special. You are as you are. Rejoice. The conflict of specialness is not real. It is a dream of pain from which you can awaken when the desire for specialness is gone. Relinquish the dream and accept the truth of you as you are. Rejoice. So that's that little message. Let's move on up. And the next message, what is my friend reflecting for me to see? So what I'm going to do is read the question first, and then I believe after I read the question, I will probably remember the situation. And if it seems like it's useful to share that, I will. And then we'll go into the answer. Here was the question. I have a question about a friend. My relationship with her seems to be a struggle that I do not understand. It confuses me. When I interact with her, I am left feeling drained. I feel like I can't just be with her. It seems that she isn't satisfied with me as I am. I need to be somehow different for her. For example, she seems to want me to choose different words, react to her differently, share different things about myself, and even think differently than I do. What is my friend reflecting for me to see? And I very definitely remember this now. and I think I described everything that was true, but this was a person who actually worked for me. She worked for me, and she wanted to have a friendship. She wanted to have more than a co-worker relationship. She wanted to have a friendship, and I was open to that. I thought that was okay. So we started having conversations that were not work-related. And then what seemed to happen, you know, my perception is that, again, she was not happy with me at all. For example, I don't remember the specific details now, but since we just talked about the word special, let's use that word. If I would use the word special, you know, in a sentence, you know, and I'm just talking, just talking is all I'm doing, sharing my experience, and I might happen to use the word special in my experience, in my sentences. Well, what would happen then is instead of or what it seemed to happen to me, was instead of hearing the message of what I was sharing with all of the words, she would focus on the fact that in that, you know, paragraph that I just said, I used the word special. And she would come right back and tell me why I should not have used the word special and why I should change my language. And it felt like, I felt like she was never hearing my heart. I felt like she was never hearing my heart. She was always finding something to criticize, and yet she kept telling me that she wanted to be friends. And it was getting very, very confusing because I felt like I was accepting her, but that she was not accepting me. So it got very, very difficult. So that's where the question is coming from. So let's see what Holy Spirit had to say. Acceptance is key for you now. Your own struggle with pure acceptance is reflected back to you whenever you are with this one. You feel drained of energy because you are struggling against your own peace, against your own self. Acceptance is letting go of the desire for anything to be other than it is. And if any of you have been, you know, listening with me lately, you know that this is a message that the Holy Spirit is feeding me again right now. Last Friday, when we were in the NTI discussion group, we looked at Romans chapter 12 and chapter 13. And what we learned through Romans chapter 12 and chapter 13, the Holy Spirit said the only kind of judgment that you can really use in the world, when you're judging anything, the only judgment that is really accurate judgment is to say it is what it is. And that's really a statement of acceptance. He says that's the only judgment that you can truly use in the world. It is what it is. and this is saying the exact same thing. Acceptance is letting go of the desire for anything to be other than it is. It is loving it as it is. It is enjoying it as it is. It is being at peace with it as it is. So again, just like in Romans, it is what it is. And as a statement of rejoicing, we'll go back to the word that was used, rejoice, you are not special. Holy Spirit wants us to rejoice. It is as it is, to open our heart and embrace whatever. And some of you may also know that on Monday of this week in Awakenings, I taught a message that I received Monday morning, which was called Accepting Now. And I won't go over that message again right now. It's a long message, but it is very, very, very good. And in fact, it's one that Laurent and I are still reading daily right now, right? It's a very good message. I did teach it on Monday morning. So you can go to ReginaDawnAkers.com to the Awakenings page on that website, and then if you get the recording that is dated 9/24/07, you can hear me teaching that. Also, Laurent and I will be teaching that message again, along with several others, when we're here on October 6th and 7th. And of course, the message was posted on the Peace of God and the NTI discussion group and ReginaDawnAkers.com. It's called Accepting Now, I believe, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, it's called Accepting Now, if you want to go and read it. Okay, good. But this is a message that the Holy Spirit is really drilling within my mind again right now, that acceptance is something that I need, that there are still many thoughts within my mind, many feelings within my body that I am rejecting. When I feel sad, for example, instead of fully accepting my sadness, I am rejecting my sadness, and I'm rejecting the thoughts that are causing my sadness. And as Laurent just said a minute ago when we were talking about the ideas that are reflected as my brothers, as he mentioned, whenever we reject an idea that is in our mind, we are cutting ourselves off from our own mind. We're really rejecting ourselves is what we are doing. And so Holy Spirit really is giving us the antidote to judgment, or the antidote to rejection, which is pure acceptance. And this is what he is teaching very strongly right now in my mind. So let me read again. Acceptance is letting go of the desire for anything to be other than it is. It is loving it as it is. It is enjoying it as it is. It is being at peace with it as it is. Begin to ask yourself what you are not accepting around you and in your life. So he's looking at both the reflections that seem to be my brothers, the reflections that seem to be the world, everything that is within my mind. He's asking me to look at everything around me, everything in my life, and ask myself, what am I not accepting? What am I rejecting? As a thing comes to your attention, practice letting go of your desire about that thing and practice loving it as it is. I'm going to read that sentence again because I want to hear it again. Lauren says him too. Okay. As a thing comes to your attention, practice letting go of your desire about that thing and practice loving it as it is. The practice will be with small things within the illusion at first, but as your peace increases, acceptance will seem to become easier. The truth must be accepted as it is without the desire for difference. And again, we learned in NTI Romans chapter 2 that the tiny mad idea was the question, what would it be like if everything was different than it is? So really what is happening every time, you know, within the illusion, when we have an experience or we have a feeling or we have a thought or we see a brother and we wish that it was different than it is, we are repeating, reshooting the tiny mad idea. So this is what the Holy Spirit is teaching us to do, is literally to let go of the tiny mad idea by starting right here, right now, in the experience of the illusion. I'm going to start that paragraph again. The truth must be accepted as it is, without the desire for difference. This is what you are practicing for. This is your purpose. So practice the letting go and acceptance with love and joy in your heart. You are building your stairway to heaven. So we are literally being taught to let go of the tiny mad idea by accepting our experiences within the illusion. I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to share. Oh, I see Steve has his hand up. Steve, please take the mic.
Yeah, I thought I had the mic, and then I saw that you signed it. Yeah, I guess it's just kind of another way of saying not resisting it, because if you resist it, you kind of give it back to the ego and you strengthen it, rather than if you just accept where you're at right now and then work with Holy Spirit on letting go of those ideas or those thoughts and not believing in them, then you're not resisting it. Every time it seems like I have an expectation or believe something based on what I'm seeing in my body's eyes, it usually comes back to kick me in the butt or something like that, you know, so it's like... By resisting it, I'm actually finding out if I don't look at the thoughts, then I'm really giving them back to the ego and letting him work with them. Even minor irritations, if I don't look at them with Holy Spirit, they come back and they're like magnified at least tenfold and stuff like that. So it's, for me, it's kind of another way of saying don't resist it, I guess, or something like that. You know, and the Course talks about letting go of resistance. So thanks again for letting me share. It's just kind of a different, maybe the flip side of the same coin. I don't really know. Here's the mic back. Thanks.